Season 5, episode 54, your midweek bonus edition, full of, well, bonus stupidity. What can I say, you know? And one of the things that I find to be kind of stupid, but kind of, well, scary, is the dumbing down of America, that people are actually struggling to differentiate facts from political opinions. It's going to get to the point people cannot even differentiate truth from stupidity. And that's why this podcast exists.
He's given a piece of his mind to so many people, he barely has a mind left.
It's insane, Eric Lane's stupid world.
Bringing a voice of sanity in our insane world or a voice of stupidity in our intellectual world, or both.
Here's the host of this stupid world, Eric Lane.
All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid. St. Eric Lane, and welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get five-star stupidity for you. So give it a five-star rating, and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. Well, if you've had to have some medical treatment done and it turned out to be pretty stupid, it's going to probably be on the podcast. And, you know, nobody wants to have something stupid happen to them, especially guys going in for a vasectomy. You know what I'm saying? Unless you really wanted a vasectomy. If you didn't want one, well, we have a whole different level of stupidity, such as the case for a 41-year-old Argentinian man who was planning to start a family with his new girlfriend. But he left the hospital livid because his doctors accidentally performed a vasectomy on him. How do you accidentally do this? Jorge Basse was telling the local press there how he had gone into the state-run Florencio Diaz Hospital of Cordoba, a few hours northwest of Buenos Aires, to have a gallbladder removed. A gallbladder, not your manhood. Well, the mix-up is believed to have occurred because Basse's surgery was delayed by 24 hours to a day on which vasectomies instead of gallbladder removals are performed at the facility. Basse said in a recent TV interview, "I have three grown-up boys who are grown-up, but I was dreaming of having a girl. Doctors have already explained to me the possibilities of reversing the error are minimal." He goes on to say, "I feel so angry and helpless. I can't understand how they made such a mistake when it had gallbladder written all over my medical records. I'd like to find a solution, but the solution the health professionals are giving me is artificial insemination if I want to father another child." Now, Basse's lawyer, Diego Lari, says his client initially wanted to die when he woke up from under anesthesia and realized what had happened. Lare says the hospital ended up performing the gallbladder operation the same day, which was the only one he should have undergone. The operation should have taken place, but was actually had been rescheduled for that following day. He said, "My client wasn't asked anything when he arrived at the hospital," which was rather surprising to him. "They put his gown on and took him to the operating room, and the nurse was the one who then told him that a mistake had been made when he came out around after the operation. The confusion apparently occurred because on that day they didn't do gallbladder operations at the hospital, but ended up on the list of people for vasectomies by mistake." Yes, a little small mistake of about, maybe 7 inches? Well, we go from the vasectomy to let's just say, how do you go into this? You have an accidental vasectomy, but a very intentional, masturbating session. Yeah, there was a rather contentious community forum on a proposed renovation at the jailhouse in Charlottesville, Virginia. And it got off to a rocky start when a participant had joined virtually via Zoom and appeared to be getting his rocks off on camera. About 20 minutes into the hybrid meeting, those attending in person at Carver Recreation Center noticed some unusual sounds, including moans, coming from the speaker of the computer being used to broadcast the session to a virtual audience. Now, the sounds began to actually present a clear distraction for the audience, not to mention the Albemarle Charlottesville Regional Jail Superintendent, Martin Coomer, who was leading the forum designed to educate the public on the multimillion-dollar proposals for renovations to his facility. Now, for those attending in person, the only thing that could be seen on the screen was Coomer's PowerPoint presentation. But in an effort to identify and put a stop to these mysterious sounds emanating from the Zoom participant, the slideshow was minimized, and then it revealed the faces of those attending virtually. And among those was a man with dark hair, seated in front of his camera, completely naked and masturbating. Coomer immediately sprang into action, rushing to the front of the room to throw his hands over a portion of the projection screen, trying to block the image from view. But as you might expect, the video was actually coming from a projector, and instead of really blocking the image, all it did was project it onto the sleeve of his jacket. The Zoom meeting was then closed, sparing the in-person audience from the episode, but also preventing other virtual attendees from participating in the next hour of the forum. Coomer said that he has not yet decided if there will be an additional online forum to compensate for the one that the people were promised, but was abruptly ended due to the unwelcome guest. The entire episode lasted a matter of seconds, but it elicited plenty of groans and laughter from the in-person audience. No word yet if the masturbator had been identified. Well, Easter is still a little ways out at the time that this podcast is published. But look, you may not have to wait too long to smell like Easter. What does Easter smell like anyway? Well, it smells like Peeps. And Peeps body spray is now a thing that exists. Bottles of it have been spotted on shelves at discount chain Five Below for, you guessed it, $5 a piece. People are already reselling them for more than that on eBay and Poshmark. They've got it in two different colors. You've got the pink and you've got the yellow. The yellow is marshmallow scented and the pink is strawberry cream. Of course, the yellow one has a yellow peep on the label, but the liquid's blue, so that's kind of confusing. It might be meant for kids, but don't let that stop you. I mean, I also saw a video of peep-scented body wash. So, I mean, if you really want to drown yourself in peeps, you can buy that too. In related news, by the way, the National Confectioners Association says our obsession with candy is now at an all-time high. Their annual State of Treating report just landed and found that we spent $48 billion on candy last year. A lot of it has to do with inflation, but still, it's the most we've ever spent. We're spending a lot of money also on sites like OnlyFans, looking for hairy armpits. Yes, that's right. Unrealistic beauty standards state that we really should be waxing off almost every hair on our bodies, but one woman is telling ladies everywhere, embrace your natural beauty. Her name is Fenella Fox, who decided to ditch the razor and stop shaving her armpits about 6 years ago when she grew tired of traditional beauty standards and realized there weren't many models uploading images to social media showing off their body hair. That's probably for a reason. The 30-year-old woman from Worcester took it upon herself to buck the trend and started sharing snaps of herself with her hairy armpits on display, and soon found she could make a little money by selling the pictures that she took. And now she's making a staggering $21,000 every month. Fenella now encourages other women who want to embrace their natural look to do the same, and insists that the response she gets on her Instagram, where she now has over 136,000 followers, from women is now largely positive. She said, "I decided to grow out my body hair and share it with everyone online. Now, I showcase my body at tourist hotspots and under waterfalls. Before long, my posts went viral with a lot of people relating to my honesty. Instead of my inbox being flooded with messages from men, I had women thanking me. While her lucrative career has seen her travel the world and live in the lap of luxury, it hasn't all been easy." Now, Fenella admitted she has also been viciously trolled online for the way she looks. Cruel commenters have been posting on her Instagram and social media that her armpits make them want to, quote, puke. And in the early days of her career, the reaction to her post was mostly negative. Now, the negativity that she has been facing also kind of took a toll on her mental and physical health. She set herself a grueling schedule that involved filming content and responding to messages for up to 14 hours a day, resulting in her experiencing waves of dizziness that were eventually diagnosed as vestibular migraines. Of course, if you look at too many of her hairy armpits, I'm sure you'll have your own wave of dizziness. She's since changed her schedule to make sure she puts her health first, without having to shave her armpits. And although she still posts content regularly, she's drastically reduced her screen time. Unfortunately, some women have increased theirs looking at her hairy armpits. But now Fenella feels much happier and healthier and can focus her efforts on making body hair more socially acceptable. She said, "By choosing pictures where my pits are on display, I like to think I'm making body hair more socially acceptable one step at a time." Excuse me. Well, there's a 42-year-old man with stolen jewelry who is on his way to prison, but not in the way you're probably thinking. See, he was driving himself and, he broke in. Police in Michigan responded to a burglar alarm late one night after there was a break-in at the former Standish Correctional Facility, which actually closed back in 2009. Now, when they got there, they found a smashed glass door, and then they later saw Cody Bellamy walking out. Now, he'd driven a 2015 Lexus to the prison. When the cops looked inside, they found stolen jewelry and cash and burglary tools and an unregistered firearm. Cody was arrested and was hit with four charges, including breaking and entering and possessing burglary tools. Now, here we have Aranac County Undersheriff Don McIntyre talking about this unusual break-in.
"Most of the time when we get called is for somebody trying to break out of prison, not break into prison. His initial statements were that he wanted to just walk around and take a look, but, you know, in reality, when you're in possession of burglary tools and masks, we know that's not the case.
It's really unclear what he was doing. He told police he was walking around and taking a look, but the cops didn't buy that. They did note that there's really nothing in the old prison. I mean, anything of value had been removed years ago. Well, apparently something was of value, but not for him anymore. He's now going to a real prison. Well, the I-5 freeway experienced a brief but a bizarre traffic delay when hundreds of rolls of toilet paper burst forth from boxes that fell out of a truck. It happened just around 12:20 in the afternoon on the southbound lanes of the freeway near Calgrove Boulevard, according to the California Highway Patrol. The two rightmost lanes were blocked by toilet paper After it scattered across the pavement from three boxes, it fell from a Ford F-350 driving down the freeway. Here's the actual report.
And there it is, CHP cleaning up a very, very large amount of toilet paper that apparently has spilled off the back of a truck. That person pulled to the right and called 911, said, "I'm so sorry, but all the toilet paper has come off my truck." And now you can see the very brave members of the California Highway Patrol are there scooping the toilet paper off to the shoulder. But, you know, the CHP, it's a dirty job. Someone's got to clean up the freeways.
Now, SkyCal was overhead as CHP officials tried to clean up the mess, tossing the rolls over a cement barrier that separated the road from a nearby construction zone. I mean, I've heard of TPing someone's house, but never TPing a highway before. It was a strange and gigantic steel monolith that was recently spotted on a hill in Wales. It's one of several of these mysterious structures that have popped up around the globe in recent years. Not sure if it's having anything to do with a reboot of 2001 A Space Odyssey, but they have evoked some online conspiracy theories of aliens and extraterrestrial beings. This latest futuristic-looking installation found in Wales' Hay-on-Wey region was noticed by an area runner named Richard Haynes. Now, he didn't quite know what to make of this unusual sighting. He says, I thought it looked a bit bizarre and might be a scientific media research thing collecting rainwater, he tells Wales Online. But then I realized it was way too tall and strange for that. Then I went up to it, and it was about 10 feet tall, at least, and triangular, definitely stainless steel. And Hayes goes on to say it was hollow and, well, I imagine pretty light. I mean, light enough for two people to carry it up and plant it in the ground. Although the Welsh obelisk's origin is unclear, two similar structures found in Utah and California back in 2020 were the works of an artist group based in New Mexico called the Most Famous Artist. After speculation and ET-like tall tales swirled around, the group owned up to the art installations. Now, another monolith that perplexingly appeared in Turkey in the year 2021 was a government stunt launched ahead of a space program announcement. Now, there were others that were seen in Romania and Ukraine in late 2020, and not far from Wales, there was one that appeared on the Isle of Wight and another in a famous stone circle called the Merry Maidens in Cornwall, England. Then there was another one that was discovered in Somerset, England, and that even featured the words, "Not Bansky." That's a reference to the artist of mystery, who may be forced to reveal his identity soon. I think somebody's just trying to be stupid. There's a recent study by scholars from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign that finds many Americans find it difficult to differentiate between statements of fact and statements of opinion. Yes, here we are. This struggle poses significant implications for civic discourse and the ability to sift through political information effectively. This does not sound good. A substantial portion of the study respondents, in fact, almost 46%, performed no better than chance when asked to identify statements as fact or opinion. Now, this suggests that nearly half, one half, of the surveyed population could not reliably discern factual information from personal beliefs or subjective statements. The study highlighted the significant role of, quote, partisan bias in shaping how individuals interpret statements. Partisan bias led respondents to categorize statements in ways that aligned with their political affiliations, often viewing statements favorable to their party as factual and those unfavorable as opinionated. Now, the researchers identified four main factors that improve participants' success at differentiating between the facts and the opinions, like civics knowledge or current events knowledge, cognitive ability, and education. I'm sure stupidity did not factor much into that at all. You think? There's a 12-year-old boy who was discovered inside of a Target store in Ohio after he'd been reported missing. According to police in Columbus, Ohio, the boy was found at around 6:15 in the morning at the Target in the East Broad area of Columbus, which is just north of Reynoldsburg. Now, CPD reported that an employee found the boy, who was unaccompanied, in the store and believed to have been there since the previous night. Franklin County Children's Services told WCMH that police said the child, who was initially reported to be younger than 12, was a runaway. Columbus police said the boy's parents had reported him missing. Now, they were notified of his whereabouts and picked him up. Well, here are the people in the community kind of weighing in on what happened.
I'm glad that the kid's safe and all, but still, that's just shocking. They wouldn't be able to, you know, go through and see that there's a kid in here.
A child alone, period, is bad. But then inside a retail store, a whole lot of things could happen.
Well, the boy had been taken to Children's Services while his family was located. There was no reports on whether the boy was even injured, and no charges are going to be filed, according to CPD. The store was open and operating as normal throughout the day, and a representative of Target said the situation was resolved quickly and safely. Well, I guess maybe he had plenty of toys to cozy up to for the night that he was there. There's the owner of a $4.5 million Lamborghini yacht who has been caught on video seemingly threatening to kill a dock worker in San Diego, then flashed his genitals when he was refused parking. That always helps, you know, in convincing somebody. The local resident and owner of the yacht, his name is A.J. Thakore, who also goes by the name Ace Rogers. Sounds like a private eye name. Ace Rogers, private eye. Well, he allegedly tried to pull up to Seaforth Boat Rental to pick somebody up, but a 21-year-old employee there told him he couldn't park there. Well, then the boat owner allegedly escalated the fight. The video shows Thakore yelling obscenities at the employer and throwing money in the water to swim after. He shouts, "I'll kill you! I will kill you! I know! You know I'll kill you! I will kill you! I will kill you!" The employee responds, "Yeah, I doubt it. Ace Rogers, call me. Time and place." Ace Rogers. And then there's another video where Thakore allegedly exposed himself after pulling his pants down and made inappropriate gestures at the dock worker. The boat owner made headlines back in 2021 when he was publicly accused of harassing the La Jolla pizza eatery known as American Pizza Manufacturing. Well, the founder of the pizzeria, Andrew Malone, says he originally dealt with defaming social media posts and negative comments on the review sites about his establishment. Sounds like this guy is a real winner. Get up close and personal with My Stupid World by interacting with the podcast through Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World's Telegram channel. I post the actual articles used in the podcast episodes every weekend from the week's collection of stupidity. When you join the channel, you'll get to read the actual stories, see the actual photos, or watch the actual videos from the stupidity that is talked about in each episode. And you can even make comments about what you read or seen, even comments with your suggestions or opinions about what I've talked about. You can even share the links to some of the stupid stories that you've encountered. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insaneericlane to see a preview of the channel and download Telegram Messenger, the app to your smartphone. It's also available in desktop versions as well, and it's supported on Windows, Linux, Apple, and Android platforms. Telegram is a secure messaging app that's gaining in popularity. You can learn more by visiting telegram.org.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's The Week in Review.
Former President Trump is set to clinch the Republican nomination for president as he will get enough delegates 5 days sooner than 2020, which is news to President Biden because, well, he thought he was facing off against Calvin Coolidge. Of course, I'm sure Trump will be very humble about this. Either that or he'll use Queen's hit song, "We Are the Champions," but change the lyrics to "I'll Be the Champion." A recent study finds that 47% of parents still financially support adult children, and the other 53% figured out a way to successfully kick them out of the house. These adult kids at least have their own cars, but the problem is we're referring to race car beds. creatively designed homemade sled sped downhill for a Pennsylvania ski resort's annual cardboard box race. These things travel at high rates of speed, hold a decent number of people, and are incredibly dangerous. So I guess they're just like modern-day airplanes. Hundreds of people who prefer roast beef sandwiches to burgers descended upon Arby's Oshawa location to pressure the fast food chain to open a Toronto location. But if they want Arby's quality food, they can just go shopping at their local pet store. Some say the protest was in poor taste, but look, if anybody knows about poor taste, it's people that enjoy Arby's. Sony's Madame Web is reportedly struggling to reach the $100 million mark at the global box office, mainly because after the reviews came out for this Spider movie, people spent all their money on The Exterminator. And John Cena shocked the entertainment world by presenting an Academy Award while apparently naked. Oscar winners are known, you know, for receiving a swag bag, but this year they got a different type of package. Cena was presenting the award for best costume design, and he'll need a good costume design for his next superhero role, the One-Eyed Monster. NFL quarterback Russell Wilson announced he'll be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which means that head coach Mike Tomlin should absolutely have his first losing season. Russ has just had his fourth kid a few months ago, so he'll definitely remember how to score in at least one way. And a new report says President Biden confused key dates during his October interview with special counsel Robert Hur, including forgetting what year his son Beau died, which is kind of crazy because you'd think the only son Joe wants to forget about is Hunter. I mean, Biden also apparently confused the year that Donald Trump was elected president. Yeah, he was actually shocked to learn that Trump wasn't the dude who beat Jimmy Carter. And a new survey finds that nearly 3 out of 4 teenagers in the U.S. say they feel happy or peaceful when they do not have their smartphone with them. But this is kind of hard to believe because where on earth did these researchers find a teen without a smartphone? I mean, 3 out of 4 say they feel happy or peaceful when they don't have their smartphones with them. Well, I guess the other 1 in 4 simply just can't feel anything after social media fried their brains. More than 100 iconic New York City pizzerias could be forced out of business thanks to a quietly approved plan that requires wood and coal-fired stoves to cut carbon emissions by 75%. And this is certainly much more reasonable, I guess, than asking Taylor Swift to stop flying planes and private jets every day. I mean, the New York City Department of Environmental Protection rule applies to restaurants with cook stoves installed before May 2016. And now these small biz owners are screwed because they simply don't have that type of dough. George A. Romano's iconic Dawn of the Dead is turning 45 years old and is returning to theaters across North America in the spring. People are so excited for a story involving the living dead that isn't a news report about the current president. Whoopi Goldberg is defending Kate Middleton's edited photo, saying the photoshopped photo is something everyone does, which is, I guess, good news because it's already tough enough to look at a cast member of The View with editing. Whoopi might want to rethink her stance on editing photos. I mean, after all, there's tons of people out there who want Photoshop packing tape over her mouth. Legendary Giants running back Tiki Barber actually blasted Saquon Barkley for signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. But look, Tiki can't really blame Saquon because the guy just wants to play for an actual professional team. And a new California bill would ban public schools from serving foods containing certain artificial dyes and additives. That would be Doritos, Gatorade, and Welch's fruit snacks. Of course, if parents really want to save their kids, they'll just immediately leave the state of California. There's a survey of 2,000 Americans that live with their partner that finds 36% appreciate when either they or their partner is not at home, as they don't have to share a bed. Of course, this is especially true for Jill Biden, who loves not having to get in bed by 7 p.m. 4 in 5 respondents admit that their partner's sleeping habits constantly wake them up during the night, which includes snoring and tossing and turning and, of course, farting so loudly that the dog starts barking. And a 14-karat gold Lego piece donated to a Pennsylvania Goodwill store was originally priced at $15, but ended up selling for over $18,000. And now this story is giving any parent who's ever spent money in a Lego store major PTSD. And residents of a city in western Japan have been warned to stay away from a cat after it fell into a tank of poisonous chemicals. Yeah, this pussy is so toxic, the cat is now being referred to as either Kim, Chloe, or Courtney. Of course, you know that other cats are definitely jealous of this one, mainly because they would also love to have the power to easily kill humans. Liberal media outlet Slate took shots at Hollywood actress Sydney Sweeney's body publishing an article insisting that her boobs aren't really that big, which really means in addition to being dumb, Slate also have writers that are blind. And Today's Show co-host Hoda Kotb recently said that her dream first date would be at Chili's, which means she'd need to find a man who has bad taste in women and food. She also says, I like Cracker Barrel, Cheesecake Factory, Olive Garden, and Red Lobster and Outback. And now nobody really wants to date her because the toilet paper bill would be through the roof. The Pittsburgh Steelers have reportedly traded wide receiver Diontae Johnson to the Carolina Panthers, and now he's suing the Steelers organization for cruel and unusual punishment. Lauren Boebert declared she would not be running in the special election for the Colorado GOP representative that Ken Buck had in his seat. Instead, Lauren is going to continue meeting up with plenty of dudes to perform the word that rhymes with Buck. Well, look, I'm just busting her chops. Okay, I mean, really, Lauren is actually known for lending a helping hand in more ways than one. And there's a new survey that finds the number of unlicensed Upper West Side weed shops in New York City has actually jumped 104% since 2022. And coincidentally, the profits of Upper West Side Taco Bells are up 500%. And more than a trillion cicadas are about to descend on the U.S. thanks to a rare natural phenomenon. You haven't seen this many bugs in one place since the last time you dined at Denny's. I mean, it's never fun to see gross creatures. I mean, just ask anybody who's recently tuned into The View. And invasive wild boars that have been roaming the prairies of Canada for decades are now at risk of jumping the border. That means they should all get cell phones and luxury hotel rooms pretty soon. Saskatchewan Agriculture and Biosources Professor Ryan Brook says that this is the worst invasive large mammal on the planet. So hopefully they just get bust to cities like Chicago and New York. And a new Mark Wahlberg movie called Arthur the King is out. I'm not really sure what to expect from this other than Marky Mark eventually taking his shirt off and flexing, of course. Of course, the plot says an adventure racer adopts a stray dog named Arthur to join him in an epic endurance race. Sounds like this dog kicks butt, whereas most dogs just sniff butt. Jennifer Lopez has canceled 7 tour dates without explanation after her new album, This Is Me Now, flopped. Now people have to listen to something more entertaining, you know, like nails on a chalkboard or microphone feedback. Former Raiders head coach John Gruden has landed a job in the European League of Football with the Milano Seamen, a Milan, Italy-based team. And needless to say, Gruden never thought he'd be dealing with Seamen quite like this. Now, Gruden is hoping he can help them reach their full potential. Yeah, he wants to really release the Seamen. At the annual Gridiron Club and Foundation dinner, President Biden said that former President Trump was unfit for office. Now, normally people would blow this off, but if anybody knows about being unfit, it's a dude who can't even walk up the steps without falling over. Joe specifically said, quote, "One candidate's too old and mentally unfit to be president, and the other guy's me." And then he was guided off stage by somebody with a full functioning brain. A raccoon was recently seen riding a chairlift at a Vermont ski resort. Kind of surprising because usually the type who digs through garbage can't afford a day pass. This went down at a resort called Sugarbush. Kind of sounds like the nickname of a promiscuous woman in the 1970s. A man who was brought his service duck into a Bucky's store in Sevierville, Tennessee, has been banned from the chain. I'll have more on this in an upcoming episode. Actually, the guy has now been informed that service animals like this are only allowed in Cracker Barrel. And Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers after the Steelers also recently acquired Russell Wilson. Pittsburgh's quarterback room is now filled with such mediocre talent that even the Dallas Cowboys are impressed. Pittsburgh head coach Mike Tomlin is already in preparation mode. I mean, and I mean by that is he's mentally preparing to have his first losing season in 20 years. The U.S. government is demanding that constantly broken down self-serve ice cream machines at McDonald's and other fast food restaurants be more easily fixable. Now, this is really huge news because, you know, we finally found the one thing President Biden will fix. I mean, sure, there's continuing to be a flurry of drugs crossing the southern border every day, but hey, it's all good as long as we have McFlurries. And a new study suggests that woke people are more likely to be unhappy, anxious, and depressed. Yeah, but the number one thing they'll always be, though, really, really annoying. And finally, Google data reveals a sudden rise in search traffic in Texas for VPNs, just days after Pornhub and other affiliated adult websites pulled out of the Lone Star State, which kind of gives a whole new meaning to the phrase Texas Hold'em. Pornhub was pulled out of Texas because of the state's new law requiring all users to verify their age by providing a government-issued ID. So to watch people get screwed, you need ID, but to vote for the people who screw you, you don't need one. Okay, I got it. I'm open to talking about anything, but love talking about surviving in the stupidity that's always around us. And if you're insane enough to ask, I'm insane enough to reply. I'd love to hear from you either by leaving a voice message or a written message. And you can even do that at podcast.insaneericlane.com. Leave any comment you have from a podcast or even a question you have. I'll be happy to address either one. Your questions or comments might even be played and or even talked about in a future podcast episode. And if you or someone you know would like to join in on a podcast, you're more than welcome to participate. You can download the Spotify for Podcasters app on your phone, and you can do that just as simple as a phone call. Or I can even send you a link that you can actually participate from the website. You can download the app to your favorite app store and add that podcast to your favorites. You can also email me with comments, questions, requests at shoutout@insaneericlane.com. And of course, should you certainly subscribe to the podcast if you listen on Apple, iHeart, Breaker, Google, Vrbo, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, or whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Don't forget to follow me also on Facebook and X. Just look up the handle @InsaneEricLane.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing or
something. And now this week's Genius Award.
And this week's Genius Awards, a 27-year-old Florida man is behind bars after getting into an altercation with a McDonald's employee in Fort Myers. Donta Christopher Davis allegedly went into a McDonald's located on Northeast Pine Road to pick up a DoorDash order. The Lee County Sheriff's Office said a verbal altercation broke out after Davis put the phone in one of the workers' faces, who then told Davis to leave the restaurant. Security footage obtained from authorities from outside the fast food joint showed Davis grabbing a crowbar from his vehicle and walking back inside. WBBH reported that Davis told the worker he was not someone to mess with. In a statement obtained by WBBH, DoorDash responded to the incident saying, "There is absolutely no place for violence or intimidation on our platform. Upon learning about this incident, we removed the account from the individual in question and have worked with local law enforcement to support their investigation." Now, WBBH also reported Davis was taken to the Lee County Jail on burglary and aggravated assault charges. Look, you should never harm a McDonald's employee. After all, these poor souls already have to handle that slop they call food all day long. I mean, it's not every day that a crowbar causes severe bodily harm at McDonald's. Usually it's just a fillet of fish. And then there's this. Meet Leighton Paul Nauman. He's a 60-year-old sound engineer who went to the beach one afternoon hoping to arrange a sexual encounter or maybe just go home with someone's phone number. While such goals may be commonplace, Nauman's unusual tactics resulted in his arrest at Blind Creek Beach, a clothing-optional spot for Jensen Beach, Florida. In response to prior complaints about lewd behavior occurring on beach pathways, a sheriff's deputy was on foot patrol and came upon a naked Nauman, seated in a recliner chair with a hat over his face about 12:30 in the afternoon. The arrest warrant offers an explicit account of the, quote, genital presentation observed by the cop. The document describes, quote, multiple rings, a metal chain, and a note advising the passerby to please feel free to investigate gently. While the beach allows nudity, police reported the pathways are accidentally frequented by parents with children as well as other beachgoers, and that Norman's scenario was unacceptable at a public beach. Norman was busted for indecent exposure, a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail. He was released later that day upon posting a $500 bond. I mean, it's common to see people playing with beach balls, but those weren't the kind of balls this dude was hoping someone would play with. Yeah, this guy definitely sounds like a real sick creep. You know it's bad when even the people of Florida think you've gone too far. Or how about this? An argument that spiraled out of control landed a 36-year-old man in handcuffs after police said that he was packing heat at a fast food spot in the heart of South Beach, Florida, and a firearm wasn't the only thing officers found on him. With his arms cuffed behind his wheelchair, Michael Reyes was dragged by police officers during one of the busiest spring break weekends of the season. Reyes faces a list of charges, including aggravated assault stemming from an altercation that police say happened inside a Burger King Whopper bar on Washington Avenue and 11th Street, located across from the Miami Beach Police Station. Miami Beach police officers were seen running into the fast food joint around 11:30 in the morning, or 11:30 at night, that is. And according to the arrest report, a man was waiting in line when Reyes began arguing with him, then brandished a firearm and held the firearm underneath his right armpit. The victim told detectives Reyes racked the firearm. He aimed the firearm at him, causing him to be in fear of his life, making him run toward the exit. Cell phone video captured dozens of officers in and outside of the restaurant before the takedown. The suspect was later seen on the floor of the Burger King being patted down and cuffed. Police said they found a gun between Reyes' groin area, and police also said they found marijuana on the subject. Now he's also facing drug charges. There's no point in pulling a gun on somebody eating Burger King. I mean, after all, they're already inflicting plenty of bodily harm upon themselves. I mean, this was the second most heinous thing to go down in Burger King, just behind that someone who actually ordered a bacon triple whopper. And what about this? A 29-year-old Melbourne, Florida man who pretended he was involved in the drug cartel allegedly extorted his wife for over $81,000 in support of his drug habit, according to arrest records. Eric Paul Johnson was reported missing by his wife December 2023 after he was allegedly being held for ransom by the Mexican cartel. Now, the woman said she returned home from work and received multiple messages from an unknown phone number demanding various sums of money, according to deputies. Johnson reportedly led the woman to believe they were being blackmailed, claiming a man named Troy was stepping in to help them. The messages stated that Johnson would be hurt or would not come home if his wife did not send the money to Johnson's Cash App account. Some of the messages read, quote, I'm running from whoever your husband sent after me in our business. It's only a matter of time before they catch me. 500 now for my family or again things will happen. 500 now or buenas noches. Better send 500 now or he won't make it to the wedding. Well, this wasn't the first time Johnson allegedly disappeared for ransom. Some 2 months before the reported kidnapping, Johnson began frequently disappearing because of the money he allegedly owed the cartel. As soon as she paid the ransom, Johnson would return home shortly afterwards. The couple had been married for 11 months, but then they started dating back in May 2020, about 2 years before marriage. Johnson allegedly then stole $9,000 from his wife after using her debit card at ATMs around Melbourne. Between May of 2020 and December of 2023, Johnson's wife sent him $71,759.78 on Cash App. This man extorted his own wife. After she found out, she probably wished that he really was kidnapped by a Mexican cartel. I mean, the guy really, really needs to lay off the drugs, you know? But you really can't blame him because, well, he does live in Florida. And you got to check this one out. A 33-year-old Florida man pleaded not guilty to charges that he and an accomplice tampered with a video roulette machine at Boomtown New Orleans Casino in Harvey, Louisiana, and made off with $68,388 in illegitimate winnings, according to the Jefferson Parish Court records. Now, Michael Shea of Coral Springs, Florida, is charged with felony theft and modifying a gaming device to affect the results of a wager. The case was investigated by the Louisiana State Police. The agency has not yet responded to a request for comment, but the authorities accused Shea of cheating the casino located at 4132 Peters Highway in Harvey over a three-day period back in 2022. Shea and an unnamed accomplice were seen on surveillance video manipulating the roulette machine. Authorities didn't say how the suspect compromised the machine, but the pair did cash 12 tickets worth a total of $31,500 after spending about 11 hours in the casino, according to the arrest report. Shea and his accomplice returned for more than 11 hours, during which they then cashed in 9 tickets for another $19,038, according to authorities, and they came back a final time to cash in an undisclosed number of tickets for a $17,850 payout. Court records didn't say how investigators identified Shea as a suspect in the case, but he was arrested and booked with 3 counts of theft and 2 counts of modifying game equipment. At the time of his arrest, Shea was wanted by authorities in Missouri for a riverboat gaming violation, according to court records. Look, you just can't rig a roulette machine. Doesn't this guy know the only casino that's allowed to do that? The casino is the only thing, the one that allowed to be able to do things like that. The guy makes off of $68,000 in illegitimate winnings. But look, it would have been really nice if it was only $69, right? And you'll never believe this. Authorities in Florida arrested a 24-year-old suspect who allegedly attacked another man with a machete amid a dispute about looking through text messages. The Hernando County Sheriff's Office said Douglas Albert Fullerton was caught going through his roommate's phone in their home in Brooksville, Florida. When the victim found him and confronted him about it, Fullerton went and grabbed a machete before he returned and hit the victim in the face. Police said the victim said he grabbed the blade to prevent Fullerton from striking him again when Fullerton dropped the machete. The suspect then retrieved a silver knife from the kitchen and returned to continue stabbing him. When the victim turned and attempted to run away, he felt the knife hit his back. The sheriff's office said the victim escaped to a bathroom and called 911 as Fullerton yelled from outside the door, "Tell them that you got into an accident. I don't want to go back to jail." The victim eventually attempted to flee the residence, but Fullerton was nearby and began chasing him. When the victim reached a neighborhood home, he saw that Fullerton was no longer there. The victim remained on the neighboring property until the deputies arrived. After being transported to the local hospital, the victim received medical attention for deep lacerations to his face and fractures to his facial bones and some minor cuts to his hands and back. Police said Fullerton and the victim were actually in a romantic relationship. Attacking somebody over text messages means this dude isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but his machete sure is. Yeah, he swung and missed on his opportunity to live a life outside of a jail cell. Of course, it's kind of too bad for his roommate that he didn't swing and miss with that weapon. Okay, one more. A mullet-sporting 19-year-old motorcyclist whose license plate reads, quote, "Will run," led police on a wild high-speed chase through several Florida cities for the second time in a week. Dramatic aerial footage of the incident shows the teenage biker recklessly weaving in and out of highway traffic, blowing through red lights at crowded intersections and taunting the police officers on his tail. "Oh, man, was that blankety-blank fun?" the deputy asked the biker when he finally was caught. "No, not really," the handcuffed team immediately replied. The high-speed chase kicked off, though, when patrol officers tried to pull over Ashton Jarvis after recognizing his unique license tag. Police had tried to pull Jarvis over just days earlier after catching sight of the invalid license plate during the annual Daytona Beach Bike Week, but the teenager allegedly fled the scene. So he pulled the same trick when officers tried to flag him down a second time, setting off a high-speed chase that ran through Port Orange, Daytona Beach, and other surrounding cities. The punk topped speeds of 145 miles an hour, as noted by the police helicopter crew that was struggling to keep up with the fleeing motorcyclist as he crossed into Daytona Beach. Well, here is the end of the chase when police caught up with Ashton Jarvis and arrested him.
"Somebody just tried to step out with him. He stopped at 2nd and Oak. 2 units making contact, 1 at gunpoint."
"Oh man, was that fun?"
"No, not really."
"You see the tag?" "No, what's it say? I like to
run.
Oh yeah. Good job, man.
Jarvis was arrested on several charges, including fleeing at high speed, reckless driving, and possession of a counterfeit license plate, in addition to traffic violations. Now, his license plate says, "Will run." And unfortunately for the cops, this clown always means that literally. Yeah, he's a dopey punk with a mullet. You should see the mugshot. This got everybody hoping that his prison has a really good barber. Well, you can help spread all this stupidity by sharing this podcast with your friends and family and even some of your enemies. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the podcast also, because look, this is five-star stupidity here. It needs a five-star rating. So when you rate and review the podcast, it always helps it show up prominently in searches when people are out there searching for stupidity. And you know they're doing that right now. Now, if you're streaming the podcast, but you're in a poor cell or Wi-Fi coverage, just download each episode to your podcast player, and you can listen to it buffer-free. And by the way, Podcast Addict is the app I recommend for optimum performance. It's free, two types of paid versions as well. It is the number one Android podcast app, in my opinion. And besides this episode, you also have the weekend episode where in this channel, and you'll get to hear Pancho Guerrero, my insane Florida nephew, who will join in with his witty commentary when he comes and takes over the podcast every weekend. Pancho also answers your questions with some of his sage wisdom. You can ask Pancho about virtually anything. And you can also test your skill against Pancho when we have our weekly Insane Game Show. And after both episodes are published every week, I then post the links to the stories that were based on all of the episodes to Telegram Messenger. If you join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World channel on Telegram, you can then check out all of those links. You can even make comments about them. You can share them with your friends as well as interacting with the podcast as well. You can get a preview of the channel, get a link to download Telegram Messenger at t.me/insaneericlane. t.me/insaneericlane. It's absolutely free, available on desktop or mobile versions for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple platforms. Don't forget to follow me on social media. Just look up the handle at Insane Eric Lane on Facebook or X, or just head over to my website. That's at insaneericlane.com. Finally, I want you to ponder this for a moment. As a child, you can't swear because there's adults around. And as an adult, you can't swear because there's kids around. Kong, ki chong, Kong, Kong, ki chong, Kong, 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 Kong,
Kong, Kong. Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World is produced with the support from EnvisionWise, LLC, and AmeriCountry.com, from Wise Brother Media, Universal Comedy at the United Stations Radio Network, SheetHappens.com, Good Parts Media, and Mr. Laughs.
Theme music from Randy Stonehill. It's a Great Big Stupid World, copyright 1992 Stonehillian Music, Word Music, Twitch and Vibes Music, and is available anywhere you purchase music.
Thanks for making it to the end of Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World. Please be sure to seek therapy to ensure you still have your wits with you. And if this has inspired you to try your hand at making a podcast, you can do it absolutely free with Spotify for Podcasters. The editing and music library are at your fingertips with Spotify for Podcasters. Download the app from your favorite app store.